This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. The first story we discuss is on the GST. The council meeting is underway in Srinagar and they finalized the tax rates for most of the items. So what is your perspective? It's also the biggest landmark sort of taxation move that the country has seen to create a single market.
I think it's... There were still some doubts whether it would be implemented on 1st July.
Right.
I think those doubts are by and large gone now.
Mm.
So it will be implemented from 1st July. There were some fears that it would be inflationary. Those fears have been put to rest because the price of most so-called mass consumption products and also packaged consumer products will actually come down.
Mm.
The electricity rates may come down because the tax incidence rate has come down on them. So I think it's a good move. Of course, as we've pointed out repeatedly, the current format of GST is a little removed from the purity of the original format because we've got far too many slabs, we've taken a few things out and all that. But I'm not going to be one to quibble about those things because I still think it's a very progressive reformist move.
Mm.
There have been studies of various kinds that have been put forth by several people saying that the effect on the economy could be an increase in GDP growth of between 1 percentage point and 2 percentage points, which is going to be extremely significant because it's already at around 7.5%. So about time. Today, they're going to be discussing a few more sticky issues and a few rates will have to be decided. But by and large, no surprises. Some products becoming cheaper will be welcomed by most consumers.
Right.
Many essential products and also things like essential drugs are at the lowest rate. So all in all, I think it's a good move. Much delayed, but finally, we are on. And I think the 1st July deadline will finally be met.
Right.
There will obviously be a little bit of disruption as companies get used to it, their own systems get used to these things.
Mm.
But I think that's something that everyone's willing to put up with because the sheer unification of the market in terms of creation of one rate across the country, I think is a good move and about time.
Right. Do you think food prices are going to see a decline or are they going to come down with this new tax?
Many of the basic products are going to cost less.
Right.
Packaged food products, the decision is going to be taken today. So I don't know what's going to happen in that because we've all seen that especially in middle class urban India, there is a boom in packaged food products. So we'll have to see what happens in that. But many of the other food products, of course, dairy products like milk were always exempt. So there's no issue on that. But cereals is at the lowest rate.
Yeah.
Rice and wheat are again exempt.
Yeah.
So I think these are good moves. So I don't think food prices per se will go up. In fact, food prices per se should come down.
Mm.
Packaged food, we'll have to wait and see.
Right. And also, maybe it's a good time to buy your car before 1st July because, you know, that is bound to go up.
Yeah, I mean, see, cars are seen as luxury products, so which is understandable.
Mm.
And again, I don't think one should quibble about that. But if you look at even products like capital goods, the effective tax incidence for capital goods now is around 30%. That comes down to around 18% for capital goods, which I think is phenomenally positive from the manufacturing point of view. We are just beginning to see some signs of the investment cycle come back, right? I mean, very, very preliminary signs. So I think it's a good thing to happen at this point in time. I'm not going to complain about car prices going up or anything of that sort because it's all right.
The next story we're discussing is the one on Paytm and SoftBank, and Paytm has just seen the biggest investment round, $1.4 billion by SoftBank, which also makes it its biggest investment in this country. So what do you have to say about that, especially given SoftBank's previous experiments with Snapdeal and FreeCharge didn't do too well?
Yeah, I know that a lot of people keep looking at it from that perspective, and we've also done it, which is understandable because sure, that's the way it's done. But the very nature of venture capital investment is it's a little bit like throwing spaghetti on a wall, right? Many of the pieces will fall off, one piece will stick. And I think that that's really the way it works for any venture capital company anywhere in the world. Some of the investments work. Most of the investments don't work.
Mm.
That's why the risks are so high. And I think even the investors in these venture capital companies, the limited partners, acknowledge and recognize this. But that said, I think SoftBank didn't particularly have a great run with many of its initial investments. seems to have changed course. Mm. And if the Snapdeal Flipkart merger, for instance, happens, it will end up with a stake in Flipkart.
Right.
Paytm, which it initially said no to at one point in time, has since become a huge force. Mm. One of the biggest gainers since demonetization happened last year.
Right.
Has done very well. It's a company which has pivoted its model and got an interesting model now. It's a good investment. And I think Paytm will invest it in the right kind of places, right? I mean, expanding its network, building it out. It's a good investment.
So our next story is on Zomato, which had a security breach yesterday, and about 17 million user records have been stolen. And last week we saw this global ransomware attack, which affected a lot of accounts and countries. So is this one of the fallbacks of the whole digitization process, or what is this, you know?
When you travel on a highway, there will be accidents sometimes, right? I mean, you can just guard against it sometimes. Doesn't mean you don't get onto the highway. Mm. The two issues you mentioned are different issues. One is, of course, a malignant, deliberate attack by someone. The other one is a hack. Again, it's deliberate, but I don't think the two are compared. In the second case, of course, a lot of data gets released. A company should protect themselves against it. I don't know enough about what kind of security processes and systems Zomato had in place. Mm. They were obviously proven inadequate. But then my own understanding is that if someone puts his mind to it, I think any system is inadequate.
Right.
You can only have safeguards. I also think users need to protect their information very carefully. Many people have the bad habit of using the same password for everything. They probably need to change that, because I'm told that in Zomato's case, if you've used a certain password, then they know that, and they'll obviously try it on lots of your other accounts. And if you've used the same password, like some people do, it's going to be problematic. So I don't know how many people have password managers. Do you have a password manager? You don't, right? I mean, and I think that's a big flaw in
the
thing.
So, I mean, we're all doing online transactions, and you tend to leave your credit card details there
I think everyone needs to be careful about the information that is out there. It is extremely convenient to transact digitally. The digital economy or any digital service promises to make life easier, and it does.
Mm.
But at the same time, there are risks involved in terms of the extent to which your data can be shared.
Right.
And I think what individuals can do is to make sure that they are careful about this.
Mm.
Companies obviously have to make sure that their own systems and processes are right up there. In Zomato's case, obviously the company was found wanting.
Mm.
Much like the ATM problem that happened in India some time back, right? I mean, it was a malignant software which latched onto some ATMs and card information got leaked. They caught it early. The fact is, I think the system was not strong enough to block that piece of malignant code from getting in.
Right. So moving on, we discussed the Kulbhushan Jadhav case, which is ongoing, and round one has gone to India because of the ICJ. So what do you see happening now?
Well, now they'll have to look at the merits of the case. What India has got and what Mr. Jadhav has got is interim relief. And I think all of us have to be happy that he's got this interim relief. I think all of us have to congratulate the government for moving quickly, because the most important thing was to prevent his immediate execution, right? I mean, I think there's been some criticism of the government that in the interim application, it didn't ask for consular access and other things, but I don't think they should have. I think at that point in time, the most important thing was to say, like, listen, this whole trial was carried out in an unfair manner and you can't go ahead with this execution. And then you have the larger case which will be heard. So I think it was prompt, it was quick. And I'm glad that the court has ruled the way it has. Now it remains to be seen what Pakistan will do. I hope they don't do anything devious. And of course, the law has to take its own course now, right? I mean, there's the bigger case that has to be ruled on. And again, I'm obviously hoping that the ruling again goes in India's favor.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and see you next Friday.